Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell, lead pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Tonight, there is a grace and an anointing for people to receive a miracle from God. He's a God of miracles. He's a God who delights in doing miracles. And maybe you're watching from home or watching from a hospital bed, or you're here, and tonight you need a miracle. And we're not going to pray for that right now, but just out of curiosity, if you need a miracle, you need God to intervene in time and space and do something that wouldn't normally happen, I just like you to raise your hand by faith and believe that God is going to do that. Amen. I believe that the Lord is going to do something extraordinary in your situation as you raised your hand. Because he is the God of the impossible. He's the God who delights to show himself powerful in our lives. And you can count on him. And you can trust him. David said, I was young and now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. He's a God who does miracles. It's one of the things I love about the Christmas story. It's filled with the miraculous. It's filled with the supernatural. When God wants to introduce the gospel to us because he wants to show us not only what the gospel is, but what the gospel does. And the gospel is supernatural from start to finish in the life of the believer. As you come to the gospel of Luke, there's 24 chapters, but there are 26 supernatural events, or 26 miracles. And Luke barely gets started in his gospel, and he's talking about the supernatural. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 5, when Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah. And his wife, Elizabeth, was also from a priestly line. His name means God remembers. God wants you to know right now, he remembers you. He remembers your prayers. He remembers the things you've been asking him to do. And his wife's name, Elizabeth, means God is faithful. So right away, Luke is telling us that there's a God who does the supernatural, and he does it because he remembers, and he does it because he is faithful. And Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. And the reason why Luke adds this is because we're going to find out that they're childless, that they've never been able to conceive, which in that day in the Jewish society, this doesn't mean this is true, doesn't mean it's correct theologically. I'm simply saying what the society of that day believed was if you could not conceive, then it could be because there's something wrong in the way you're walking with God. And so Luke wants, and the Holy Spirit wants to set the record straight and say, they were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. One day, Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. What happened was there were so many priests, the priestly part of the tribe of Levi, there were so many priests that there were 24,000 priests at the time of Christ, and they were divided into 12 different divisions. And so what happened was they would have a division there for a month at a time, and they would serve at the temple, and they would do different things. And it says, as was the custom of the priest, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. So the idea was, because there were so many priests, what would happen is at the time of the morning sacrifice, 9 o'clock, the evening sacrifice, 3 o'clock, one of the priests would go in to the holy place, not the Holy of Holies, where the ark would have been, not in Jesus' day, but they still had the Holy of Holies. The priest would go into the holy place. He would take burning coals from the altar of burnt offering outside the holy place. He would go into the temple proper. He would go up to where the curtain was that separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place, the main sanctuary. And he would put the coals on the table of incense, the altar of incense, and then he would put incense on it, and it would cause smoke to rise, and that was symbolic of the prayers of the people, and people would gather for prayer at 9 and at 3, and they would be outside, and they would watch him go in, and they would be praying, and that would be a time when they would feel their prayers were rising up to God. If you were chosen by lot, which was not every priest got to do that, and if you got to do it once, it was the only time you ever got to do it in your whole ministry. So you can imagine, this is a massive, massive day for both Zechariah and Elizabeth. This is a huge honor. He's an old man. He's waited all of his life to do this. And now he gets the opportunity to go in and offer the incense to the Lord. We read this in verse 10. And while the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. What this does is this sets up for us a miraculous moment in the life of Zechariah and Elizabeth. What I want to do is I want to give you just three principles regarding the supernatural. The first one is this: our impossibilities are material for the miraculous. If you want to see a miracle, expect to have some impossibility come along. Some of you are disappointed that you need a miracle because you would rather have an easy life, and God is wanting you to see his ability to do something extraordinary in your life that you'll never forget the rest of your life. How many of you have had God do something so extraordinary in your life you have never forgotten it for all of your life? Raise your hand. See, look at that. And so when you see somebody who has a need, you're able to say, you know what, I can tell you this, there was this time when, and then you're able to tell them, and it encourages their faith to believe God, because God is a God who does miracles. And miracles come by the way of impossibilities. In fact, the fact God does miracles, just once again, if you've had a miracle, you've received a miracle, raise your hand again. Isn't that encouraging? Wow, think of all the miracles that have happened. He's a God who does supernatural things. They needed a miracle because in verse 7, they were barren and they were past the years of childbearing. And the good news is in the Christmas story, God makes it very clear in chapter 1 of Luke that there's nothing impossible for him. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. And literally in the Greek, it's God's rhema, God's word for a specific setting. In other words, if God speaks to your heart, for example, that story, that testimony of John Cheatham, that God spoke to him and said, write this day down, this is the day you were healed. In that moment, there is a rhema. That's a rhema from God. That is the word of God in a way that is specific to his situation. And when you have one of those, within that word is the power to do what God says he's going to do. Jack Taylor, who's gone to be with the Lord, Southern Baptist pastor who was spirit-filled, was an amazing person, says you could read verse 37 this way: no freshly spoken word of God will ever come to you that does not contain its own ability to perform itself. In other words, if God speaks to you, then it's going to happen. If God speaks to you, there is, you say, well, what about faith? What about, no, listen, the power of God to complete the work of God in the impossibility you're facing is there the minute God speaks to you. You have all that you need to see that happen. And this sets the stage for all of Luke's gospel as one supernatural event, one miracle after another happens. So your impossibility is the material. It's the staging for the miracle. If you have an impossibility, you're a child of God. God delights to show himself powerful in your situation. He looks for that opportunity. He longs to be gracious to you. Number two, it's in God's presence that we receive God's answer. So as we are praying, God is going to meet needs. Verse 10, and the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. I want you to notice this. There, can God appear to us on our own at a different time and place? Yes. But you cannot read the Bible without coming to the conclusion that when God's people are praying, God does extraordinary things in that moment. This is the value of being in the prayer meeting. This is the value, if you can't be here, of watching the prayer meeting. There are some things that will happen in the corporate gathering of God's people that will not happen if you're alone by yourself. Because God is never going to let us come to a place where we think we don't need the body of Christ. He's never going to let us come to a place where we think we can handle it all on our own, where we just have a do-it-yourself Christianity, which I want to suggest to you is not Christianity at all. He's designed it that we would come together, recognizing that when we are together as his body, his presence is there uniquely and powerfully, and that miracles are a part of that. Zechariah is in the holy place, and there appeared to him an angel of the Lord. We know later in the chapter it's the angel Gabriel standing on the right side of the altar of incense. So there's nothing sacred about right side, left side, altar of incense. It's simply Luke is giving us detail because Luke is saying this is historically accurate. These are the facts. If people aren't praying outside, if Zechariah is not in that place, is this miracle going to happen? You say, well, God can do anything he wants. That's true. But the fact of the matter is the staging for the miracle comes the moment he's in the presence of the Lord and the people of God are praying. So God is going to speak to people tonight. God is going to work, and the ways he works are as varied as the number of people tonight who need miracles. He delights in variety. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know what he's going to do. I'm simply suggesting to you that there is an anointing tonight for God to work in your life. And as you open your heart to that reality and you let faith rise in your heart and you are sensitive to the voice of the Lord, or maybe to the voice of the Lord through the person next to you or as you're leaving or however it happens, God is going to do something extraordinary in that situation that is an impossibility. Number three, when God speaks, believe what he says. Believe what he says. You may not understand it, believe what he says. It may not make sense, believe what he says. You may say, well, that's as impossible as my impossibility. Believe what he says. I want you to notice that in Luke chapter 1, it's very, very interesting. There are all kinds of people receiving miracles. Zechariah and Elizabeth, they're going to get a miracle. Elizabeth's going to get pregnant. You got Mary, she's got an angel appearing to her, Gabriel, and she's going to be with child, and she's not married and never had relations with a man. And so there are these supernatural, I would suggest to you, these two supernatural events are juxtaposed to one another. You have Zechariah and Elizabeth who are going to have a conception miracle, and you have Mary who's going to have a conception miracle, but the response of Zechariah, the priest, and Mary, the teenage girl, could not be more different. It's very interesting. Zechariah said to the angel, how can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now. And my wife is also well along in years. Then the angel said, I am Gabriel. He says, I'm an old man. And Gabriel says, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. I mean, Gabriel is incredulous that this elderly priest is doubting a word that Gabriel has been sent from the throne of God to tell him. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. And what happens with Zechariah is he's not willing to hear what God is saying and take it in internally. And he's speaking in his speech words of doubt. So what happens? You read the story, he is struck both with deafness and he's unable to talk. We know he's unable to talk because when John is born, they ask him what the name, they're gonna name him Zechariah or name him a family name. And Elizabeth says, no, his name's gonna be John. And they go to Zechariah and they say, what are we gonna name him? And he motions for them to give him a tablet so he can write, so he can't talk. It's as if God is saying, if you're not gonna believe what I'm saying, then there's no use in you being able to hear, and certainly no use in you being able to speak and have your words of doubt going all over the place. In other words, when God gives you that promise, and he will give a promise, or when God gives you that word, or however it is that God chooses to speak to you, in that moment, it is incumbent upon you to receive the word of God and believe the word of God. Mary, on the other hand, very, very interesting. Mary said, but how can I know this will happen? I am a virgin. Now, here's what I want you to notice. Zechariah is asking for evidence. How can I be sure this will happen? Mary's asking for information. How is this going to happen? We know that because the angel understands her intent. Look what the angel says. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. I'm sure that answered every single question she ever had. You know, I mean, God gives her information, but she doesn't, I mean, that doesn't answer her question. It does, but she doesn't understand it. And she doesn't follow that up by saying, well, I can't understand it, so I don't even know how that could be true. No, that's not a response. I'm the Lord's servant. May your word be to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. She's like, hey, you know what? I don't understand it, but I know it's from God, and I know what he says is true, and so I'm saying, God, let it happen. Zechariah wants evidence. She wants information. What God is looking for is people who say, I am your servant, and I don't have to understand how you're going to do it in order to know you will do it. Amen. Now, let me say this. We're going to wrap this up. We're going to pray. When God speaks to you, if you have history at all in the miraculous, the supernatural, in other words, you've seen God do something, then you have to rest in the fact, you know what? I've seen God do some things. And I know God is able to do some things. I don't have to relearn the lesson that God does impossible things. I want to ask Gary, are you comfortable with that? God does the impossible. Without you understanding it, he does the impossible. Without you being able to figure it out, he does the impossible. Because if you have to understand it and you have to figure it out, then essentially what that is a lack of faith in the basic promise of God that he's going to work. So you have to receive it. and you understand it. Mary didn't understand it. You do not have to understand what God is going to do in order to experience what God wants to do in your life. And you're better off to become like a child and just receive it. Like a child, just say, you know what, that's awesome news. I believe it. May it be to me. So when you get that word, may you say like Mary, may it be to me as you've said. I'm the Lord's servant. Whatever he wants to do, I'm all in, and I thank God that he would do it. And then what Mary does is Mary, if you read on, you'll see verses 46 and following, Mary bursts into this song of praise. Has she yet given birth to the child? No, there's still a lot of hurdles she's gonna have to jump along the way, but she is praising God because she's seeing God's faithfulness. She believes he's faithful.